Well, please open your Bibles up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I know I said that we'll be looking at Acts chapter 2, but for now, open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And again, let's just ask the Lord's blessing. Lord God, we thank you for the worship that we've just participated in, and now we continue on with worship through the hearing of your teaching this morning based on your word. We ask that, as has already been prayed, you would show us Christ. It's already been sung. You would show us more of yourself through an examination of ourself in relationship to you. Lord, we ask your blessing on any who are here this morning who might be enduring difficulty. Lord, give them this respite now. Let them find peace and the consolation of knowing that you love them and that they're surrounded by brothers and sisters who love them and that they would take advantage of that. Take advantage of it here this morning, but also take advantage of it through what we're going to be speaking on today, these care groups. Lord, we want to please you. We want to be effective for you. We are called to minister for you, but we're broken and we need your help to do that. So fix us, we pray, in whatever means it takes. Amen. Well, good morning. I was going to begin this morning by saying that spring is in the air. But one problem with that, we live in Canada. So, here we are. Spring was in the air. And don't worry, it will be again soon. It'll take a couple weeks from what Weather Network says, but it will be in the air again. And one of the things that means is that it's time to do some spring cleaning, doesn't it? Time to do spring cleaning. And I got that bug a couple of weeks ago when I was feeling some of the warmer temperatures. And so I wandered out to the shed in our backyard. Now let me tell you, if there's one place that needs some spring cleaning in Newcastle, it's our shed in our backyard. It's been like that since we've moved in. So I was brave and I ventured out there to poke around and see what I might clean up. Well, when I opened the doors and I started rummaging around a little bit, I heard some movement in our shed. Mm-hmm. And over the past few years, we've cleared out more than our fair share of raccoons. So I thought, oh, we have another raccoon. I actually kind of look forward to it because girls get all excited and they get to see it in the cage and that kind of thing. So I started to nose around, and up in the rafters, I found a nest. And I started to pull it apart in the middle of the day. And as I was pulling it apart, there was chirping. And I thought, oh, it's not raccoons. But it was a pretty impressive nest for a bunch of birds to have built. Well, I couldn't quite get at it, so I had to go around back and take the soffit off, and I started pulling things out, and lo and behold, I find two baby squirrels. No more than just a couple of days old. In fact, took a picture of them last night. And it was, dusk was coming, and I had scared mom away, so I put them back, and took them inside, made a little bed for them that was better than what mom had made, and took them back out in hopes that mom would return. Well, my wife said, just leave him alone or you're going to scare mom away. But curiosity got the best of me at about 9 or so last night. So I went out and looked in that little bed, and I found them both in there. Mom wasn't to be found anywhere. So I picked them up, and they were stone cold, and they were lifeless. But I held them in my hands for a couple minutes, thinking that perhaps they just need to warm up a little bit. And as I held them there in my hands, suddenly I started to feel a bit of breathing in this one. And I thought, oh, okay, this one made it, maybe. And then I started to feel some breathing in this one, a little bit of movement. So I started to blow on them in my hands. And within a couple more minutes, they were starting to move around a little bit. So I thought, oh, I'm so glad. And I took them inside the house, and we nursed them back to health. Now, I must be getting soft as I get older, because in years gone by, my wife has a garden, of course, and squirrels, you know how squirrels are with gardens. I probably would have just taken care of them completely, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it this time. They're too cute. I mean, look at them. So I was up every few hours last night giving them Gatorade to revive them back to health. Well, they called for Pedialyte on the internet, but we can't afford that. So they got Gatorade. And by morning time, they were fine. They were very active. They were chirping away and stuff. So I went back out early this morning, put them back up there, and I saw Mom scurrying around. She wasn't far away, and hopefully right now they're getting reunited with Mom. But it occurred to me last night as I was taking care of these little squirrels that these squirrels are at such a tender age that they can't survive on their own. Now, thanks for the picture, Kyle. We'll have to take it down or you'll be focused on the cute little squirrels instead of what I'm saying. They're a lot cuter than me. It occurred to me, though, that they can't survive on their own. That without the care of someone who's qualified to take care of them, somebody who has been put in place there to take care of them, they would, had another hour gone by, probably even a half hour, they would have been dead. Their cold and lifeless little bodies wouldn't have been able to be revived like they were last night. The parallel in all of this is that it's very true for us as well as Christians. We were not made to be on our own. We're not made to function and survive in an isolated state from those whom God has put in place to be around us, to nurture us, and to care for us, and to give us what we need when we need it, the kinds of things that a Christian requires. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me, starting at verse 14. Read along with me. You don't have to read out loud, but just read along with me. So the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body. In spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. In spite of this, it still belongs to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But now, God has placed each one of the parts in one body just as he wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? Now, there are many parts, yet one body. That's us as a church. That's us as a church. But we function so often as individual parts in isolation from the rest of the body, don't we? But the body is not one part. You are not the church as an individual. You are part of a body. You are part of many, and so am I. And as such, we were not created to function in isolation. You see, God has surrounded us with a great cloud of witnesses, hasn't he? In Hebrews chapter 12, he says that. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, of course, is referencing all of those biblical saints that's listed in Hebrews chapter 11. But I would argue that there are more than just those saints that surround us as a cloud of witnesses. Look around you this morning. Look around. That cloud of witnesses that you are surrounded with, in addition to all of the wonderful people that God worked through in Scripture, are those who are sitting around you, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But are we really connected? Are we really in the game together? Are you connected to the body of Christ? I know every Sunday we meet here at church, but we meet amongst a lot of people. Most of whom, as you look around, you won't have the opportunity to talk to this morning. We aren't a small church. We aren't a church of a dozen or so people. And you know what? We praise God for that. We praise God that God is at work here in Newcastle, and this is a testimony to his work. We praise God for that. But the downside, if there is one, of having nearly 200 people in this church, is that it is tough to be connected. And that's a downside because we were made to be connected. We were made to be surrounded with other believers. We don't want to be isolated. And that's why we have the care group program. And that's why we want to take a Sunday morning to focus on that. Because being a part of a care group gives you as a believer that opportunity to be connected in kingdom community with other believers.
Because it is not enough to grow only in our personal and our individual relationships with God. In fact, I would argue it's not even possible for us to grow fully in our personal relationships with God apart from our brothers and sisters growing with us and walking with us in faith and entering into our lives and allowing our gifts to be used in their lives. Now, if you read the Bible, one of the things you notice, you read the whole thing, one of the things that you notice throughout the Bible is the importance of God's people being connected in covenant community. What happens in the Old Testament when somebody sins in a terrible way? What happens? They get cut off from the community, don't they? There's an importance to God's covenant community. God's kingdom people are made to live together in community, in kingdom. We see it from the creation of Eve for Adam. It was not good for man to be alone. We see it in the establishing of Israel as a nation at Mount Sinai, all the way through to the book of Revelation when believers are gathered back together. And into eternity we see it. Those who are God's people are in intimate community with one another. They're tight. Now, perhaps nowhere is this more visible than immediately after Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. You can turn there now. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. When the Spirit of God enters into the lives of God's covenant people, those who enters into the lives of those who were saved because they trusted in Jesus, the hearts of God's people begin to beat as one heart. They in seeing each other, they savor the joy of knowing God together. And it's this text that I want to consider this morning as our basis for why we want you to consider joining one of the care groups here at the church. Read again with me, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Think about your part in this as we read it. And they devoted, believers, people who are new Christians, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Now all the believers were, what? They were together. And they held all things, how? In common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting how? Together in the temple complex and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with a joyful and humble attitude, praising God and having favor with all the people. And every day, what happened as a result? Every day, the Lord added to them those who were being saved. Now, what's amazing here is that this, before the Spirit came at Pentecost, many of these people, probably most of them, had little to do with each other. We know from reading the book of Romans that many had disdain for each other. But look what God does when He saves people, when He brings people into His kingdom. He's building kingdom here. He's not building little house over here, little house over here, little house over here. He's building kingdom. Look at the relationships that have suddenly taken place amongst this ragamuffin crew of new believers. I think we can say, looking at this, that this seems pretty ideal, doesn't it? I think we could all say that at least in word, this is what we want for the church body. This is our dream of what we want to see happen here in this church. Wouldn't we love to see it taking place in every church? And so the relationships and the activities that are here mentioned in Acts chapter 2 really have been the ideal for our care groups. Now throughout this message, I'm going to invite a few different couples to come up and just talk about different aspects of how they might see this taking place in their care groups. I've asked Wayne and Louise Brideson if they would come up and just ask them a question. Wayne and Louise, thanks so much. Appreciate this. I want to ask you, looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 47, you can use this mic here, how have you experienced this picture of kingdom community and the care group that you guys are involved in?
You'll have to get. Well, thanks very much. We've been involved for just over a year, And our care group has been very, very supportive. We feel very confident in our group. If we have a crisis within our family, we feel comfortable in sharing that because it doesn't leave the group. They're there for us. We pray with one another. We grow with one another. We cry with one another. We rejoice with one another. We have about 15 in our group. We always read scripture or learn a lesson from God, and they're always good, even if it's something we heard in the past. And it's a thing that we've really gotten connected with the church way more than we thought we would have. So if you're not involved, it's something really to consider, and I think you'd really benefit.
From a guy's perspective, I'm guessing I'm more textually relating my comments as to the experience I've had with the care group. And it resembles, I think, fair to say, it resembles very much Acts 2 in that we get together once a week and we are in fellowship in that little group. And our fellowship is with Christ and around God's Word. And we see that in the text references there. And another reminder in the text, it says they were together and in fellowship, held things in common. Well, we haven't sold an RV or something and decided to live together in a commune. Nothing radical like that. I'm being a little facetious. But we do share something in common. And what we do share in common is our heartfelt prayers for our family members and others in the group, and even our neighbors come to mind. So the care group's activity that or ministry, really, body ministry, causes an effect on us and our outlook to our community and our neighborhood. So for that, we're thankful. And there's always food involved. I like that as well. And finally, I guess the goal is key is in the last verse 47. And hopefully when all that's going on, God's adding to the church daily those that should be saved.
You know, knowing this kind of community is difficult, if it's not impossible, when this kind of number is meeting together for only an hour and a half or a couple hours every week. And what often happens is that many, even many couples, you might find yourself asking that to your wife or your wife asking you, how come we're not connected? Why do we see other Christians having these kinds of relationships? What happens is that we wind up being a sort of a rock or an island. We wind up being like those two little squirrels in the midst of a sea of people. Now, there's a good chance that you're here this morning and that's what you've been thinking. You've been asking yourself that. Maybe you and your spouse have been asking yourselves that. Guys, we don't want that at this church. God does not intend that for you as a Christian. You were made to be in community with other believers. You were made to be worshiping Christ. You were made to be walking with Christ and working for Christ along with the other members of the body for the glory of Christ and for the good of your brothers and sisters and for you too. And because of this, we want you to think this morning about joining one of the care groups. Think about joining one of the care groups. We want you to be part of a care group because they're built around those things which are essential for the growth of every Christian. Not just new Christians, but every Christian. These are things that can't happen properly apart from having other believers to walk with in the Christian faith. Not walking with from a distance where they're on their road over here and you're on your road over here and someone else is over there saying, hey, how's it going? I hope it's going well. We'll see in a little bit. But walking together with each other. First of all, we want you to consider joining a care group for the study of God's Word. Now, I think almost everyone in here this morning, understands the importance of studying God's Word. It's why you're here this morning, after all, isn't it? We see that in Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 42, where the first thing that is mentioned of these new believers is what? That they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, is that the Word of God? It is. Absolutely. You see, back then, they didn't have the nice codices that we have nowadays, where it's all been compiled into one Bible. What they had was the oral teaching of the apostles. This is what has become our New Testament. There was no completely written Bible. The apostles' teaching was their Bible. At Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church, we love the Word of God. Because it's through the Bible, what, that we know the mind of God. We know the instruction of God. Furthermore, we know the hope of God, don't we? We know how it ends. We love the Word of God. Well, in our care groups, we have the opportunity to meet every week outside of what we get fed at the Sunday services to once again know the mind of God, to search out the mind of God, to understand who He is, to understand how He's worked, to understand how He is working, to understand who we are in relationship to Him. Don't we live in a world of broken identity? Wondering who we are, our neighbors, our classmates, wondering who they are. Scripture tells us that. To understand each week in our care groups who we are in light of our understanding of God and the Scripture. We get the opportunity to have our brothers and sisters help us in understanding how God's Word fits together so that we can understand better that unfolding drama of redemption that we see throughout Scripture. What it all means. How does it speak to me today? And it's good to study God's Word in that way. Of course, it's good to study God's Word on our own time, too. We should be. But none of us should ever just study the Word of God alone. There's lots of good theologians and Bible scholars out there, and every one of them will tell you the importance of studying God's Word in community, with people of different ages, people from different cultures, people from different backgrounds, and even levels of Christian maturity. I've been amazed to see sometimes when I've been looking at the Bible for years and studying it, but being in Bible study with somebody who's a new believer, the insight that they can sometimes have, where I've made things way too complicated and they can read it so plainly. And they get at the meaning of the text in a way that I've completely missed. And if you're a young person in here, let me tell you, this is the way to do Bible study with somebody who's much older than you, somebody who has walked the walk for many years, who understands what real application of the text is, and who can give you that kind of insight so that when your time comes to face something, you'll see what the Scripture has to say about it. So first of all, consider joining a care group for the study of God's Word. You know, one of the sad things that happens to me, usually a couple of times a year, is I'll be out at a store somewhere walking around Newcastle, and I'll bump into somebody from the church, and moments into the conversation, they'll tell me they haven't been to church in a while. And why it's sad is because I didn't know. I didn't realize it. And when this happens, I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed to find this out. And more often than not, when I ask them, has anybody called you? Has anybody been in touch with you? More often than not, the answer is not a single person. Now, this doesn't happen because people don't care. I believe people care in this church. I really do. It doesn't happen because people don't care. It happens because in a church this size, it's just hard to notice it. But in Acts chapter 2, we see the church engaged in mutual care for one another. And care groups are important for that mutual care. So consider joining a care group for the mutual care of one another. Tim and Kate, why don't you come up here for a second if you don't mind. I want to ask you guys, how is being part of a care group affected the way, or maybe you've seen some of the ways in which this mutual care has been carried out? Maybe it's affected you guys. You might have to get a little closer to
me. Okay. Kate made me write some notes, so I stayed on task here. But we've been super blessed to be part of a care group really since the care groups got going. And we've been part of two care groups and are presently part of one. And it has just been, it's been an awesome thing from the get-go. And I guess I'm a teacher, and to let you know, if you really understand concepts and et cetera, they always want examples. So I have like a few examples of sort of incidents and things that sort of highlight that care. But often it is more subtle and ongoing. I remember when we were first in the early days, just shortly after we were married, we live on a farm, and we were struggling to get our hay done, and Kate wasn't feeling well at the time, up and down with different health issues. And I remember Noel brought some of his college and career group, a care group in themselves, and this is very early on in the days, and I remember Tammy Taylor organizing, getting together and getting all the meals for everybody, and Kate didn't have to work, and just watching everybody come together. Yeah, it was awesome that we got all the hay done, but just sort of that feeling of like blessing and care, it just sort of blew us away, that something as simple that, in the rating of importance, getting our hay into the barn. Well, you know, life goes on. It's a struggle sometimes, but it was just such an amazing blessing. And another example is later on that winter, we were out cross-country skiing in the Ganaraska Forest, and we were with the Bridesons. They're not in our care group, but they are in our care group, another good friends of ours. And I had a very strange incident in my health where I ended up laying in the snow, completely paralyzed, unable to move, and at the time I didn't even think I could lift my chest to breathe. And at that time I really remember looking up into the pine trees, and I thought that maybe this was it. This was very, very weird. I couldn't do anything. And thankfully for the Bridesons, they were there. And anyways, I got rescued by the snowmobile, and it ended up being in Cobourg Hospital where they checked us out. And I remember after the evening service, I remember Jacques and Tatiana coming, and that's where the Word of God comes in. I remember a psalm being read, and I just remember such a blessing. I remember David and Joan being there from our care group, and it was such a comfort, such a wonderful feeling, and something that was such a scary time. And it was also a great testimony. You talk about the growth of the church because our in-laws were there, and they see that sort of care and outreaching amongst us. Just a few others. I know time is a little bit precious here, but I remember when little Vivian Taylor was born, we had the privilege of being the first ones to visit the hospital, and that was care towards us, that they, to be part of such a special moment like that. It was just such a special, encouraging experience. We've had weddings where we see people come together and share, and rehearsal dinners, and just being invited to be part of that. And, you know, there's been other things too. There's been accidents, there's been illnesses, there's been family members pass away, and just to have that care together, and to know when you come in and you see Paul's smiling face, it's not just a smiling face, he's genuinely happy to see you. And to know that when we break out and we talk about the Word of God, and before we go to prayer, all those struggles, things happen through the week, and we're not as strong as we should be, and weird things and doubts and struggles and all kinds of stuff, and we can be open and honest and really really care for each other. We're not alone, and we have that great sense of care, and we've been super, super blessed. And even to have the opportunity where sometimes you do something for somebody else, as small as it is, and to see them appreciate that, and to I remember David said to us early on that when you're not part of this, like Noel says, you're sort of cutting yourself off from gifts of the Spirit, all the gifts and things that everybody has. And we didn't really realize that until looking back before we were part of care groups and before we were part of this fellowship here. So we've been very blessed, and we encourage this sort of care. So it's been awesome. Thank you, Noel.
Thanks, guys. Now, I want to make sure that you know, if you join a care group, sometimes things don't happen. This kind of merging together doesn't happen instantaneously, but give it some time, and you'll notice how close people grow together in these groups. Look again at Acts chapter 2. It says, "Now the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had a need." I didn't pick Tim and Kate specifically because they had examples. I picked everyone here kind of at random.
And there are so many other testimonies that can be shared about these kinds of things that you're hearing. When we look at this mutual care, I want to ask, how often are we not able to do this for brothers and sisters simply because we don't know the need that they're in? Maybe right now you're experiencing a time of need. It could be a financial need. It could be emotional need. It could be logistical needs like getting the hay in or something like that. Of course, there's always spiritual need for every believer, isn't there? But no one else in the church has a clue that this is going on in your life. You know what? Being a part of a care group provides a way for us as hands, as feet, as legs or arms, elbows, even freckles perhaps, to know what's going on in each other's lives so that we can provide that kind of mutual care for one another, whether it be in a crisis type situation or maybe it's just through lending a listening ear or a spur of the moment prayer. You know, if those little squirrels didn't have someone to care for them, they would have been dead, like I said, probably in another hour. It's hard for anyone to survive alone. Why then, as Christians, do we still have this mindset of doing it on our own? Well, I know why it is. It's because of the culture that we live in, where there's such an emphasis, or there has been for the last 150 years, of individual accomplishment. We need to kill that self-righteous spirit, by which we might quote Scripture, we might even say, I can do all things through Christ, but the emphasis is still on I can. Let me tell you that if God has made you a part of the body of believers, you better take advantage of being a part of that body. Don't be a rock. Don't be an island to your own spiritual destruction. Join a care group because believers, as believers, we are there to care for one another. But care groups are also important for accountability, kind of related to mutual care. In the same way that it's difficult for us to survive as Christians without others to care for us, it's difficult to grow in holiness without the watchful eye of other Christians. You know, we've never been, since you were saved, you've never been in a friendly land. We live in a world of both seen and unseen powers that are beyond count, powers that are beyond our understanding a lot of the time. From every billboard on which you see a sprawling picture of a half-dressed person to the click of a mouse where you have the ability to enter into a world of sin in the private confines of your room. There are even more unseen forces that look at you as wearing a bright red bullseye right in the middle of your chest, pushing you and pressuring you to make wrong decisions, ungodly decisions. For every moment where someone else gets the word of credit from maybe your employer, or for something that they've done, or maybe because they're a better mom than you are, their sin is waiting to harden your heart. For every false appearance of biblical holiness or spirituality, where you know in your heart of hearts, maybe you even know right now, this isn't who I really am. It's all a picture. Guys, there's the need there for accountability to other brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible tells us that there is no temptation that has overtaken you except what's common to all humans. Think about that. There's no temptation that's overtaken you except what's common to everyone. We all have the same struggles. Oh yes, differently nuanced perhaps. But none of your struggles are things that others don't know about. What we struggle with most is accountability. That word, accountability. It's got such a negative tone for us, doesn't it? And whereas the study of God's Word, that may be our strong suit here in this church. I think biblical accountability, not just in this church, but in most churches, that's on the other end of the spectrum for us, isn't it? And I'm also willing to bet if there's one thing, other than time perhaps, if there's one thing that's keeping you from joining a care group, it's this. It's transparency. It's accountability to others.
But think about this for a moment. And I want you to pray about it too. Ask God to search your heart about this. Truly trusting God when He says that, look, there's no temptation out there that sees you except what's common to other people. Trusting that the sin that you're struggling with has been struggled with by others thousands of times before. Ask yourself this question: am I doing any better dealing with this on my own? And I'll bet you in every single instance, you're going to come up with not much. Ask yourself if it wouldn't be beneficial to have another brother or sister walk alongside you to encourage you when you're doubting, to speak reason to you when you're tempted, and to help pick you up when you do fall. I know, guys, trust me, I know bearing your soul to others is not something that comes naturally. It doesn't come naturally to anyone. But I can tell you, and so many others can too, that when you are able to have others help you bear the load, that load is so much easier. Trust me, pastors are notorious for this flaw. But not just pastors, we all are. We all struggle with this pride of not wanting to appear weak. But the load is more than one man can carry. Well, there was one man, actually. I've said this before. There is one man who could carry it, and that's Jesus. But He's given you brothers and sisters in Christ as a means of bearing those burdens. You know, we love to quote Proverbs chapter 27:17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. But does that mean, what does it mean other than we ought to allow others to speak into our lives and to hold us accountable to the standards of God's Word for the sake of our personal holiness? So think about this. Join a care group for accountability. You know, early on when we launched the care groups, there was an unhealthy, unfortunately, suspicion that the care groups would undermine our prayer meetings here at the church. But we need to understand that care groups are prayer meetings. They are prayer meetings. They're more than prayer meetings, but they are that too. I want to ask Fred and Carolyn Bouquet if they would come up and just kind of share on this aspect of the care groups. And Fred and Carolyn, I want to ask you, how have you seen prayer work in your care group? And what's been your experience with that?
Well, of all the different aspects of the care group, I think most people that are in care groups would agree that prayer is probably the highlight. Not the first time you get together. It takes time, as Noel has already said, it takes time to build relationships. It takes time to build that trust together. But the longer you're in a care group, the greater that trust is built. Prayer becomes a precious time. In our care group, we have 10 to 12 people. Not everyone can make it every time. When we go to prayer, we split up. The guys pray in one room, the ladies in another room. And you can share your struggles with one another. And you find out that as you do, that all of us are broken. That's the common denominator, that we all have the same struggles. We're all broken. None of us has it all together. I think it's so easy to want to cover up. It's so easy to want to appear like we have it all together. But none of us does. And so it's been a great, great blessing to come together and to pray together. This past Friday we met, and actually it was said in prayer by one of the guys there, this is the highlight. This is the highlight of the prayer meeting. Someone has said to me before that praying in public together can be dangerous because we can want to appear better. We can, you know, I can try to pray so that others will look at me and say, oh, wow, he can pray wonderfully. And I say, yeah, there is a danger. There's a danger everywhere we're trying to serve the Lord. Satan will be there. And there is a danger in that. But that doesn't mean we avoid prayer because of the danger. It means we recognize that danger and humble ourselves before him. I think prayer has been a great blessing, but I also think I consider that part of what I could tell you was the way that God has answered our prayers as a care group, and we've definitely seen some answers to our prayers. But I think also so often prayer, we think of prayer as trying to get God to get on our side. If we could only bend God to our will. But prayer has to be the bending of us to God's will. And I think it has been such a great blessing in that as well, to be able to unite together and see God drawing us to himself through it. Thank you.
You know, care groups are, you know, this, again, it's not an isolated testimony. I know some of the care groups, Aki, your care group, keeps a record book of the prayers. And how many prayers that there have been answered as you go through those records. There's been so, so many. You know, care groups are a place for believers to join together, to pray for one another in so many things. Those things that have been shared about during an accountability time too. They provide you with a time where you can really enter into prayer with people you know, people you've grown to love and become connected with together, like the believers in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4 later on, where they're always praying together for one another. Not just my brother-in-law's sister's nephew's son or something like that. If you want to pray, you really want to pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ, then enter into the personal lives of those in a care group and allow them to enter into yours and to pray. We want to see God's kingdom grow here at Newcastle, don't we? We want to see God's kingdom grow. We want to see God's kingdom grow through our care group. So I want to ask you this morning, are you connected? Are you a connected member of God's kingdom? Or are you like those two little squirrels last night? Are you on your own? Are you growing cold? Are you struggling to survive? If you're a Christian, that's not what God intends for you. You're intended to connect. You're intended to be part of the body of Christ. Guys, every one of you in here has gifts that others need from you. And that means that you are in need of the gifts of others to work in your life as well for your growth and for your spiritual nourishment. You know, our culture has been crafted by the forces of this world to ensure that we do not have the time, that we don't have the attitudes, that we don't have the resources or the desires to enter into the lives of each other as believers. But we aren't citizens of this world, are we? We live in this world, but we are not citizens of this world. We are of a different world, a different kingdom, and we live and function, get that, we live and function by a different standard. We need to make time and know that we must contribute. And we need to be contributed to. We are members of God's covenant community. We're members of God's kingdom. So I want to encourage each of you this morning, if you're not already in a care group, I want to encourage you this morning to think about taking that opportunity to enter into that relationship, enter into that covenant community with other believers. I wanted to put a whole table out this morning, so of display, but priorities and my heart got the best of me looking after these little squirrels last night. But there is a sign-up sheet out there. It's not as fancy as I wanted it, but there is one. It's on those bulletin boards just out in that hallway. You can sign up on one of those sheets if you have questions or if you want to join a care group or think about it for the next few weeks. Because they're not going anywhere. The sign-up sheets will be out there permanently. But remember this, that you were not made to walk the Christian walk by yourself. You were meant to be together with other Christians. You were meant to be together to worship Christ, to work for Christ and to walk with Christ together for the glory of Christ. So think about that. Think about joining a care group today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for your gracious provisions for us, as if it wasn't enough, giving us your blood, dying for us on the cross, as if it isn't enough to have all of the luxuries that we enjoy in our day-to-day life, as if it weren't enough to have kids or spouses who love us. But you've placed us in your kingdom community. You've made us children of the kingdom, worshipers with one another. As we look around the room, we're not alone. We're not amidst people who hate us. We're not amidst people who persecute us. We're with our brothers and sisters. And this is another gift that you've given us. Those who come alongside us to help us walk until we make it to the kingdom. Sometimes I'll fall, Lord. Sometimes I will struggle and I'll need help. Sometimes others will, and I'll be there to offer it by your grace. Lord, I want to pray that you would speak into our hearts this morning if we are of that mindset that we can do it alone and we can get by without others, without study of the word together, without prayer together, without accountability. I pray that you would correct us in this error, Lord. And help us to humble ourselves. Help us to humble ourselves like we humbled ourselves to Christ the first time. Let us humble ourselves to your provisions again. And Lord, if a care group is something that somebody in this church needs this morning, and I'm convinced that there are many who still do need that care, I think we all do, then I pray that this would be a ministry that they would participate in. Lord, if there's anyone in here this morning who doesn't know Jesus, it is true that this is a hostile word. It's not just hostile for Christians, it's hostile for everyone. And I want to pray that they would see the kingdom that you have established, and they would see how your people love and care for one another. And I want to see that it's all because of a change in heart, a change that's been brought about by Jesus. And I want to pray that they would seek that change, that they would seek repentance and turning from a life that offers no answers to one that offers eternal hope in heaven in Jesus Christ, and that they come to you this morning. Lord, bless us in a way that we might bless you. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.